ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are back and better than ever here on Hound Pound Sports Talk alongside Sam Wiederhoft, Brady Klain. I'm your host, Jack Kaiser. We have the latest in Carmel basketball, girls and boys. The boys are coming off of a quadruple overtime loss at Cathedral last night, which we will talk about later on. And the girls have moved to 16-4 on the season since our last show. We will have boys varsity center Trenton Richardson on at 10:30 with us. But right now, we have girls varsity guard Emily Kamek in studio. Emily, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
All right, Emily, leading off with the first question. Over winter break, you guys got a big victory in the Bedford North Lawrence tournament, beating Bedford North Lawrence on their home court, something they haven't done. They haven't lost a game on their home court in 45 games. What was it like to break that streak and win the tournament?
It was awesome. Bedford always brings a super big crowd, like their whole town comes. So there was a bunch of people there. It was a great environment. Plus, since we lost to them last year, it was really great to beat them.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where do you think your team is at right now? Like I mentioned, you're 16-4 and off a tough loss to Homestead over the break.
It was last week.
So not quite over the break, but since our last show, you guys lost to Homestead. You're 16-4. That's obviously a very good record, boasting a very good season right now. Where do you think you are as far as potential goes?
Right now, I think we're about 7, but we can definitely improve and get to that 10 by the sectional.
Yeah, I mean, speaking about that Homestead loss, you guys lost 34-30 at Homestead. But what kind of statement did you guys make? You know, Homestead undefeated, number one team in the state, and you guys hung up there with them for a long time, only lose by 4 points. What kind of statement did you guys make?
Definitely a big one, because Homestead usually scores in around the 80s, and it was a really, really low-scoring game for them. And we followed our scouting report that our coaches prepared us for and showed that they can be a beatable team.
Now, we know you're one of the senior leaders on this team. What's it like taking over a leadership role and being one of the people that everyone looks up to on the squad?
It's good. I like it. I like being able to, like, mentor people and show them what they can achieve later on.
Yeah, one of the things that's unique about this Carmel team is the variety of different ages. You guys have 2 sophomores starting, a junior, and 2 seniors. So how do you think that plays to your advantage, and what kind of leadership has the underclassmen showed during this whole year?
It shows that we're going to be good later on, too. It shows that we don't depend just on our seniors, but we have a wide variety.
All right, this is a question. We usually ask it a little bit later on, but I'm going to ask it right now because I want to know. We ask every single guest we have on here, what's your pregame playlist to get pumped up to?
Our pregame playlist? Well, it's a wide variety, but we definitely like 2000 songs. A common favorite definitely is Let's Get It Started by the Black Eyed Peas.
That's a pretty good one. That's actually the first Black Eyed Peas song we've heard from anyone, which I'm pretty surprised about.
Classical music. We got classic. A lot of hip hop rap from different guys.
Variety everywhere.
All the basketball guys are really focused around the hip hop. We had football focused around classical. We had Frank Sinatra classical music. So there's definitely a wide variety. But instead of the music, what other things do you get? What are the things you do in your pregame rituals to get you pumped up for a game?
Definitely listen to music and jam out. But dance and just relax and have fun.
Yeah, and you guys last week recently had a game against Center Grove in a 50-38 victory. One of the main storylines of that game was you played against a teammate in the future, Lauren Rao. What was that like? You guys are friends. What was that like, you know, playing against your future teammate that you'll spend the next 4 years with at Lipscomb University?
It's fun. Just like competing against each other now, but knowing that you're going to have a great teammate later on that you're going to be able to play with and see that. Even though we're on separate like sides and teams, that will work really well together later on.
Now, just like Sam said, you're committed to Lipscomb University to play there next year. How'd you choose Lipscomb? Were there any other choices, and how'd you narrow it down?
Well, I had 3 different offers, one from Akron, one from Southern Illinois, and one from Lipscomb. And Lipscomb is just a really good fit. The people there are amazing. They're super nice, and I love the city of Nashville. So.
And focusing back more on the season, three-point shooting, something that I've noticed, three-point shooting has been a little bit of a struggle. You guys are shooting 30% from the three-point arc. What are you guys doing to try and improve this as we look forward into sectionals in a few weeks?
Well, right now we're currently shooting 100 threes every practice, so hopefully that will pay off later
definitely,
on.
Definitely.
Now, we saw 2 years ago Coach Wendland was assigned the new coach. How do you think he's taken over the duties of running this team?
Very good. We're so much like a way faster team than we were before. Our defense has improved so much, which is what we hang our hats on. And it's fun to play for him because he's so into it and he puts his time in.
Describe your style of defense. At least from the game I saw, you like to put a lot of pressure on the other teams.
Yeah, we like to press a lot and just get up and get people to turn the ball over so that they don't even have a chance to go down and run their own offense.
Now, basing off a question that Sam asked you earlier about the younger players on this team, who are some of the younger players that are really making a big impact?
Definitely our two sophomores, Amy and Blake. They have led in scoring and rebounding. But also Olivia Christie, she is really good on defense and just helps motivate our team.
Now, who would you say is a big emotional leader? Like when you guys are down, who's picking you guys up from the bench?
Celine.
Yeah, that's what I would say too. Yeah. From what I've seen, it's been Celine. She's really emotional out there on the court. But looking forward now, you guys have games at Fishers, then at a very tough Pike team, and then a home game against a top five team in Heritage Christian. And then to round out the year, you guys have a game at Ben Davis. Very tough game there. How important is it for you guys to finish out this year strong and get your momentum rolling into the playoffs?
We will win all five, hopefully. It'll just show going into sectionals that we are a top contender and that people should be scared to play us.
You guys have a lot of confidence going into the playoffs?
I really hope we win. I think we will. We've beaten every team except, well, not Fishers yet in our sectionals, so hopefully we'll win.
But you aren't quite there yet. I mean, you're winding down the season. I think sectionals start at the very beginning of February. We're about in mid-January right now. How are your legs feeling? I mean, you're sort of in the grind at the end of the season. I mean, are you guys well-conditioned? I assume you are, but are you tired at all?
A little, but you get used to it, so...
Is there a bigger expectation this year rather than last year? Last year you guys lost in the first round of sectionals against Noblesville. Is there a bigger expectation this year?
Yeah, our coach, last year since it was his first year playing for us, we didn't know how to win necessarily, and this year we do. So I think that he expects more of us, and that's okay because we expect more of ourselves.
So in this year compared to last year, do you think the team chemistry is a lot better?
Yeah, a lot better. We're friends not just on the court, but off the court, too.
And what kind of things do you guys do off the court to kind of build that relationship?
Hang out, go get food together.
All right, typical.
That's a classic.
That's what we do. That's us. Yeah. That's our style.
McDonald's after every game.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So in your 4 years at Carmel High School, your senior season's winding down. What has been your favorite moment on the basketball team?
My favorite moment? Probably just hanging out with everyone and, like, making the friendships and just getting to know new people every year.
Yeah, now it is your final season. What kind of advice would you give to the younger players? Because there are a lot, and this team has a lot of potential moving forward. What would you say to those younger players in the years looking ahead?
Just to put in a lot of work because it'll pay off in the end, and always do your best.
Now, you've obviously put in a lot of work over the offseason, and you're telling the younger players to do that. Sort of describe your offseason like training schedule. I know a lot of athletes really work hard in the off season. What would yours look like?
Oh, it's brutal.
Brutal?
Over the summer, usually we have 2 practices a day, 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon. In the morning we run, and then in the afternoon we just like play basketball.
Now, do you do a lot of that off season training by yourself or with the team?
Both.
Both? Okay. And obviously that off-season training has contributed to a lot of the success you guys have had so far in the year. Do you think you have the potential to go all the way to a state championship?
Yeah, I think we do. And I hope we do, because it'll be a really good experience for the team.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Emily. That was a great interview. We will have Trenton Richardson with us later on in the show, about 10:30 or so, maybe a little bit earlier at 10:25. Once again, thanks for joining us, Emily.
No problem.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll analyze that interview and also preview a little bit of the Trenton Richardson interview and talk about the boys basketball team. You're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk.
You're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk.
Welcome back to Hound Pound Sports Talk, everyone. A nice interview with Carmel varsity girls guard Emily Kamek just a few minutes ago. And now we bring in the girls varsity broadcaster, Cullen commentator, Leo Robluski. Thanks for joining us, Leo.
Yeah, no problem, Zach.
Robluski?
That's Robleski, as I pronounce it.
There's a W in there.
It's a complicated Polish name.
I've been getting it wrong for 2 years, and I don't think I'll ever get it right.
By the way, I'm Wiederhaft, not Wiederhoft.
Mine's pretty simple.
It's Klain.
It's Klain. I'm Kaiser. We just found this out. We're the boys' varsity basketball team broadcasters. Brady and I are K-squared. Klain and Kaiser. You guys are W-squared. Wow. Wiederhaft and Robles.
I like that.
Coincidence?
I like that. I like
oh,
that.
My goodness.
Conspiracy?
Conspiracy, yeah. I don't know. But Leo, thanks for joining us. We're bringing you in to talk about the girls' team. We interviewed Emily. She provided a lot of great information for us. They're 16-4 on the year. How have you seen this team progress throughout the season?
Well, Emily has had a pretty good season of herself. She started out the year. We always talk about that 24-point game she had. Really great numbers for her. I had a little bit of struggling in the midline of the season for her, but I think she's starting to pick it back up. She's had a couple of threes in the last couple of games, so her shooting is on the rise. As for the team, like I said, 16-4 record, pretty impressive record for there. One of the top teams in the state. I see nothing but positive things on the way forward for this team.
Yeah, she had that 24-point game against Pendleton Heights. I believe that was the first game that we broadcast. But yeah, started out the year pretty good. And then toward the middle, you know, three-point shooting was really down, only shooting 30%. And I like what she said about during the practices, you take at least 100 threes, which I think is a great method to do it. And hopefully their three-point shooting can improve as we go into sectionals. But yeah, I mean, the team is really bonded close together. I like what she said about the expectations, how it's more this year because they're all more of a team. And Coach Winland, you know, was his first year last year. He's just trying to get a feel for it. And now they're ready to get rolling. And they've been a top 10 team all year. So, yeah, whenever you can hang up with a team like Homestead, 34-30 at Homestead, the number one team in the state, whenever you can hang up with a team like that, you got really good chances to improve in the playoffs.
Would you say Emily and the team's three-point shooting or their defense characterizes them?
I would definitely say the defense characterizes them. Blake Smith in the middle is leading the team, blocks around 4 or 5 a game. So obviously very impressive numbers for her. Celine Funky is all over the place. She's getting rebounds, diving for all the loose balls. The defense has kind of been like the grit for what this team has, and it's really worked out for them defensive-wise.
Yeah, like Emily said, at that Homestead game, Homestead usually scores about 80 points a game, and they held them to 34. So I would definitely say that the defense is the strong suit of this year. You know, Blake Smith is really getting it done down low, and like you said, Celine Funky playing really aggressive. So hopefully they can continue that into the playoffs with that improving three-point shooting.
Now, both of you guys mentioned Celine Funky, and so did the interview earlier. How is she providing such an emotional leader? Like you, Sam, you said earlier, she's an emotional leader on this team. What's it like having a leader like that on your team?
Well, I really think when you said emotional leader, I think that's perfectly describes Funky. We said that she's kind of the definition of grit. She's always diving on the loose balls, you see players, you know, that kind of walking up to the ball, thinking it's going to be an easy, just kind of almost ground ball. Like, but then you see Funky come out of nowhere, steal the ball, and that's a turnover. So obviously for the Greyhounds, it's just a great thing to have someone like Funky on the team.
Yeah, you know, I'm always confused at what position Funky plays because she's all over the court. I mean, she'll play down low. She'll take a three every once in a while. I mean, she's everywhere. And her defense is outstanding, just playing really tight against players. And, you know, it's her play that really excites the players. But it's also her words on the bench and always getting people fired up, always having a laugh with the teammates. Just her attitude really improves this team a lot, I think.
Now, Leo, you're also the play-by-play man for the JV girls team. What players have you seen on the JV team that could contribute down the road?
I think three players in particular that I really think could really help us down the road. Macy Berglund, she's averaging 12 a game in the JV game, but she's only averaging 12 because she doesn't play a couple games because sometimes she practices with the varsity team, so sometimes she doesn't get as many minutes in the JV game before that. But when she does play a full game, she is she's unbelievable. She gets around, I've seen her get games where she goes 20 for 22 points, and that's just because she is more athletic and she's a little bigger than all the other opponents.
And that's impressive, too, because isn't she a freshman as well?
She's a freshman. And the three people I'm about to name are actually all freshmen. You have Macy Berglund, Reagan Hune, who's a guard. She's averaging around 9 and 8. Again, Macy Berglund, by the way, is averaging around 11 and 10, so a double-double for her a game. And then I think a person we could really watch out for is Sophie Baer. She is averaging around 6 a game, but she doesn't take that many shots, but her three-point percentage is 50% on the year, so she doesn't take a lot of shots, but the shots she does take, very effective.
And also players that I've seen, just some freshmen getting some varsity time, Madison Ferguson and Mackenzie Wood. Wood kind of plays like Blake Smith down low, always hitting the shots from the block, and Madison Ferguson has a very pretty three-point shot. So, I mean, like Emily Kamek said, there's a lot of potential to this team in the upcoming years because they have three underclassmen starting and two seniors. So it's going to be a very exciting upcoming years for the Carmel Greyhounds team.
Now for Brady and I, we aren't as integrated with the team as you guys are, obviously. We hear the names Kamek, we hear the name Funky, Blake Smith, Olivia Christie. What are some other players that really contribute on the varsity team that people may not know about?
I think Kwasniewski contributes a lot. That we don't really talk about her a lot because she doesn't get 20 points a game or anything or any amazing statistic. But what she does on the court is she plays great defense, and that's something you can't really take stats for. But I really think that just it really contributes toward the team because you got Funky with a lockdown defender and Blake Smith locking down the inside. And if you just have one more person that can lock down their two guard, I think that's what Kwasniewski does, and it's so effective.
Yeah, Kwasniewski's always there for that clutch three also. When the team is down, she'll hit a clutch three, and their momentum will get right back. But somebody who probably everybody else knows, you guys just didn't mention, Amy Dilk. Dilk is the leading scorer for the team, I believe, with 12 points per game, and she's the main ball handler of the point guard. She's been outstanding. She's been able to drive down low and get some great shots off, draw fouls, very aggressive defensive player. Amy Dilk has a great upcoming few years at Carmel, and she's already making an impact this year.
Now I'm going to turn the tables and ask you guys a question that we normally ask. You guys, on an away game, say you take the bus right over there. What's your guys' pregame ritual before you guys broadcast?
You're kidding me.
Pregame ritual.
All right, we have a pregame ritual.
We do. Sometimes it's just a simple knuckles.
It's the knuckles. But we were going to Center Grove the other day, and me and Leo both found out that we both like Collective Soul, the band,
was awesome.
A lot.
That was
so
awesome.
We jammed out to Collective Soul and some trap music as well. So, that's...
Yeah, we jammed.
That's kind of what we do, right? Yeah. Okay, all right. What's your guys' pregame?
I was waiting
pregame?
For it.
Yeah. All right, I know you guys want to ask. What's your guys'?
We were waiting for it. So, Brady and I have... I mean, it's not really set, but in general, we have a handshake that we always do right before. We always give a little bit of knuckles. On the bus, we always just... We try to relax, We talk a lot. We end up doing a lot of... And talking to the TV broadcasters that go with us, try to relax before we go on the air. It's fun. We love to do this. I know you guys love to do this. So we just end up chilling, maybe listening to some music if it's a little bit longer bus ride. And then once we get there, we usually set up all our equipment right away just to get it done. And then we might go get some concessions or something before we go on for pregame.
Yeah, very interesting.
One of my favorite things to do, though,
calm down, Leo.
One of my favorite things to do, though, is when we'll get – this is almost at every away game since – all the coaches are out watching the JV game. We'll sometimes go talk to the coaches, whether it be Coach Osborne or even Coach Hitty. Last night we spent a couple minutes talking to Coach Hitty before the game, just not even about the game, just talking about everything else that was going on in NBA and college basketball. So Coach Hetty's always willing to talk about all sports and all levels of it. So it's great to talk to all the coaches, and they're involved with us as well.
So that's our pregame ritual, and you guys stated theirs. And thanks for joining us, Leo. Thanks for coming in and give us a lot of greater information on the girls' team.
Yeah, no problem. Love doing this for you guys.
All right, so Leo will step out, but Brady, Sam, and I are not going anywhere. We are going to take another break. When we come back, we have an interview with varsity center Trenton Richardson. Stay tuned to Hound Pound Sports Talk.
You're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk. Today, a new creature walks among us, causing fear, mayhem, and injury.
Stay back, children. I'm
scared. Look out for the dreaded digital deadwalkers. With faces pressed against their little handheld devices, they put all good citizens in harm's way.
Ugh. Hey, dude, I'm walking here.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see you.
A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who want to keep everyone well connected with healthy bones.
Something inside that I need to release. so, so much that you deserve. There's nothing to say, nothing to do, I've nothing to give.
This is Keith Turner, Planetarium Director at Carmel Clay Schools, and you're listening to WHJE 91.3.
Once upon a younger year, all our shadows disappeared, the animals inside came out to play. Went face to face with all our fears, learned our lessons through the tears, made memories we knew would never fade.
One day my father, he told me. Welcome back to Hound Pound Sports Talk, everyone. We just got finished talking about the girls team, and now we are moving on to the boys. And Trenton Richardson, the center for the boys varsity basketball team, is in studio with us. Thanks for joining us, Trent.
Hey, thank you, Jack. Appreciate you having me here.
All right, so I asked you this during the break, but I want our listeners to hear. How do you feel right now after playing a quadruple overtime game last night?
Still in absolute shock. It's still, like, keep running over my head. It was really rough. Absolutely no sleep last night. Rough loss, but good fight.
How do you feel physically?
Oh, exhausted. it was such a long game. What, you know, 12 extra minutes total, so...
I mean, in watching that game last night, you could just see the entire team was fatiguing. Both teams were throughout the entire game going into four overtimes, obviously. So what did you guys do during the game to help prepare yourself through those 12 extra minutes?
Well, absolutely. At that point, it was all mental. It was a fight to the end. And, you know, we were going to fight it out no matter what. We weren't going to let each other down. So, you know.
You guys have had two really tough losses, Westfield and Cathedral. How do you bounce back against Avon after those two, you know, really close losses?
I think we got to use it as fuel from now on in the season. The whole goal is we can't lose from now on, and we got to, you know, come back better, learn from it, and use it as a lesson, or else we lost for nothing, you know.
And you mentioned how you really couldn't get any sleep last night. The day after a loss like last night, would you say it motivates you or stings you more?
You got to use it as absolute motivation. Come in next day of practice, next game, just get focused. Have a short memory, you know.
Now, you played a lot on last year's team, and at face level, it's obviously clear this year's team completely different from last year's team. But what can you tell us? What do you think is really the big difference between this year's team and last year's team?
I think we got a lot more diversity on our team this year. Just being, we got more guys that are willing to step up and score and make plays. Last year we relied a lot on our, you know, our leaders and stuff like that. But this year I think we're a full team and we can bring a lot to the table.
And you said last year you relied on the leaders, and this year you are one of the leaders. What's it like being one of the role models on this team?
It's almost a new experience for me. But I think it's really cool, you know, learn from it and developing as a player and a person, learning to lead others and, you know, be one of the seniors on the team, you know.
And being one of the senior leaders on the team, you had a really solid performance last night with 11 points. And at the end of triple overtime, you made a Christian Laettner type move to get to the rim. It was a full court pass at the top of the key, and you faked right and turned back to the left, except you drove all the way to the hoop and was fouled. Was that a planned play for you to fake right and then go to the hoop?
The plan was to get an opportunity to throw it down court to me at the top, or then Preston behind me in the lane, and whoever could go up and get it. And then from then on, we had 2.5 seconds to make a move and go. We didn't really plan like what to do at that moment. I just knew that I had to get to the basket if I got it and try to get fouled or finish. So
you guys are standing at 6-5 right now. And really, we really haven't seen a Carmel team be 6-5 in a while. It's usually just been long win streaks. How has Coach Hetty really led you guys through some of your struggles here early on in the year?
I think he keeps us. He's just been keeping us focused. It's tough. It's something new for Carmel. In the past, you know, 3 years, we've been really successful. And I still think we have the opportunity to be just as successful this year, because, you know, what really matters is come March time, tournament time. But, if you think about it, you know, we just got to keep going, change a few plays here and there, and all of a sudden, you know, we're a much different, you know, record-wise, we're a much different team. But it really doesn't matter. We're not a different team skill-wise, player-wise, or whatnot, you know.
And last night, and going against a very good Cathedral team full of athletes, what was it like playing against a team that was really full of guards, where you guys run more of a traditional full-sized offense?
Well, you know, we always had to make sure they're all athletic. We have to hit the boards really hard, box out, and make sure we get back. You know, they're really good at running the court and getting points in transition, which we kind of had to adapt to playing different teams like that.
And every time we watch you play, you're down low battling down there on the boards, and you're making post moves. Every time you get the ball, especially against these smaller teams, you're double or triple teamed almost every single time. And you can be honest with us, how often are you fouled in those double or triple teams? Nearly every time?
maybe not. It's up to the rest for that to decide that. I gotta say, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of physicality in there, but, you know, that's cool, because when that happens, that gives us opportunities to kick out and get scores elsewhere. So,
Now, last night against Cathedral, you guys were up by 1 point at halftime, but Cathedral got a huge spark with the alley-oop from Jordan Walker right before the half. What was Coach Hetty's motivation at halftime to get you guys to bounce back from that?
You know, he said that, you know, we came into that. We were up, what, 6 or 7 before the last few minutes, and we were playing the game we wanted to do. You know, we were doing what we needed to do to win, and we let him back in it with that and then a three from Jordan. So, you know, he just said, look, we got to focus. It's going to be a battle from here on out. You know, it's almost tied at halftime. The crowd was crazy there, so, you know, we had to come out and get the first punch in the second half, so...
And a tough loss like last night and earlier to North Central at the buzzer in the year. You know, you've lost a lot of close, tough games. Do you think these serve you better down the road leading into the playoffs?
You know what I do? If you think about it, you know, had we got that one, those wins, you know, we would have been ranked better. We had a better record. We would have been feeling maybe a little bit more confident and whatnot. But in the end, it doesn't make a difference on how good we are as a team. And I think we're going to learn more from it, and we're going to use that as fire when it comes time to win.
And speaking of playing with fire, you talk about the two losses that Jack just mentioned a second ago. Playing with a chip on your shoulder, that's really been one of the mottos for a lot of these players all season long. The aggressiveness on the defensive side of the ball. What's Coach Hetty preaching you guys about your defensive presser?
You know, that's absolutely true. We got to play with a chip on our shoulder, be more physical, pressure the ball. I think we started off the year kind of like backed off a little soft in our defense, wasn't up to the level we wanted. It's not there right now. We can always get better. So what's most important for us is just keep improving. We're getting better, and by the end of the year, we're going to be one heck of a lockup team. Our defense is going to be really solid.
Yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say, potential-wise, where are you guys at? How much can you guys improve throughout the year?
Honestly, I think the sky's the limit for this team, for real. Like, we can be so good. I think we're going to be. We just got to get there, keep improving throughout the season.
And what we saw last night, as far as that defensive presence goes, we see a few wrinkles from Coach Scott Hetty in this team throughout the year, in all of his teams in his five-year tenure. One of those that we saw last night was the zone that you guys went to sort of in the middle of the game. We couldn't really tell if it was sort of a 2-3 or a 3-2 hybrid. Describe that for us.
We were running a 2-3. I think we kind of got flustered a little bit in it. They started passing the ball really good, and they got a couple threes in the corner. And I did think that kind of set us off, but it did for a while work really well, changing it up on us. It's something we got to work on, being better in the zone.
Now, as you being one of the senior leaders on this team, like we talked about a little bit earlier, you're one of the mentors, like we said. Who are some of the younger guys that are really making a big impact on this team?
You know, as a big guy, I got to give a shout out to our freshman, John Michael Malloy. One heck of a player. He's been getting so much better, and he's going to be really, really good. It's fun playing with him and working with him.
Now, we ask this question to players every single time on the show, but what's your pregame playlist? What are you listening to before the games to get hyped up?
You know, it's all different for me. Change it up. Recently, it's been a little bit of a ZZ Gibson, a little bit of Quest, some Mac Miller, all sorts of stuff.
We've heard everything. We've heard classical music from Michael Victrop. We've heard Frank Sinatra from who?
Chase Crowder. Crowder was
yep,
Sinatra.
We've heard hip-hop and stuff and like rap, like you said, from a lot of the basketball players. But that's interesting. We talked about our pregame playlist. We have some interesting choices of music, too.
What you got, Jack?
I like to listen to the hip-hop and rap, you know. I'm a big Drake and Jay-Z fan. Some of the classic guys, and Drake's rising up now. But I also enjoy a little bit of laid-back music. Sam got me hooked on the Beach Boys a little
Boom,
bit.
Boom, there we go, baby.
I'll listen to the Beach Boys sometimes before I go on just to, you know, chill a little bit.
Now I got to work on Taylor Swift for you.
Taylor Swift is not an option, Sam. I can tell you that much. Wow. But
quit trashing Taylor Swift, guys. But one more question. I have another question for you, Trent. Coach Hetty, one of the most storied coaches in all of Indiana basketball. He's such a great coach. What's it like playing for him?
You know, it's an absolute pleasure playing for him. He's such a well-known coach. He really does a good job. And I think over my 4 years playing for him so far, really have grown from it and learned differently to play for him. He's definitely got his style, and I think we can be really successful. So it's been a pleasure.
And I know he's developed you over the years, and you're playing great right now, and that's sort of contributed to your commitment to Hillsdale College next year. Division two or Division three?
Division two.
Division two, that's what I thought. So how did you narrow it down to Hillsdale, and were there any offers? Any other offers?
Yeah, they were the first offer I received. And for me, I was wanting to wrap up before the season so I could focus on my high school season. And for me, Hillsdale was kind of the perfect mesh of a really good school. It works out really well for I'm trying to pursue politics in college, so they have a really good program for that. They play in a really good competitive league for the Division II level, and you know what really sealed the deal for me was just going up and visiting there.
And then the last question we have for you here, we asked this to Emily Kamek too. How is the team bonded on and off the court? You know, we talked about the differences in teams. How is it different this year with the way you guys come together in that chemistry?
You know, I think that this year is a little different, as in all, like, it doesn't matter what age or grade. I think we all bind really well together. You know, we're all friends. We hang out, chat it up, go out after practice to eat. So we have a good time together.
All right. That is all for you, Trenton Richardson. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right, so make sure to tune in to the boys' broadcast on Friday. They play Avon. Trenton will be starting in that game. Should be a great matchup here coming up soon. So we are going to take another quick break. When we come back, we will analyze that interview and talk a little bit more about the boys' team. You're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk.
Times will blind you. Still I know I see you. Come on.
Fun, the song right there by the Beach Boys. I was talking about how I'm hooked on the Beach Boys for my pregame playlist, and so is Sam. We asked that question to all our players. I like Trenton's pregame playlist, though. I might start listening to some Mac Miller, too. But yeah, Trenton Richardson, a great interview there for the boys team. Like I mentioned, they are coming off of a 62-60, I believe, quadruple overtime loss last night at Cathedral. It's definitely the best game I've ever broadcasted, and might be the best high school basketball game I have ever watched in my entire life. So many twists and turns down the stretch. Carmel able to come back in regulation. They were down 10 in the fourth quarter, went on a 10-0 run to tie it at 44. And then in the first overtime, Alex Fallander hit a shot at the buzzer. Or it might have been in regulation. We were trying to determine that. It was in the first
overtime. End of the first overtime.
We confirmed that. He had a shot at the buzzer from three-quarters court. We were listening to the broadcast this morning, and it went in, but it was just a little bit too late. That would have won the game and probably would have been one of the greatest shots I've ever seen.
And in talking to Trent a little bit ago before he came on the air, we asked him about that, and he said he watched the TV broadcast of it, and it was so close. It was almost simultaneous when the ball left his hand and when the horn sounded, so it was a very, very tough decision to make on that one.
And we were all confused because once Aaron Gordon got his shot blocked by Preston Flamey and his three at the buzzer to try to win the game, we all thought, oh, we're going to another overtime. But Alex Fallander, with that awareness, picked it up real quick and fired it down the court. And, man, so close. But that's sort of been the story for Carmel this year. So close, but not enough at the end.
So close, yet so far.
Exactly. They're 6-5 on the year now. Two losses in a row after a three-game win streak. They lost to Westfield this past Saturday, a 2-7 team, a pretty bad loss. The Greyhounds just did not have it that night. And then they played well, I'd say, on the road against Cathedral this past evening. And they just didn't come out on top. Cathedral had a little bit more talent than them, I'd say, a little bit more athleticism. They certainly had the home court advantage. They brought a huge crowd. It was so loud. I couldn't even hear myself when Richardson was shooting those free throws in triple overtime to try and win the game. He ended up tying it, but man, oh man.
Yeah, you make a great point there, Jack. It was probably the toughest home court advantage I've ever been a part of in my 2 years of broadcasting here, basketball, football, and every other sport. I mean, that was by far the loudest and the greatest atmosphere I've been a part of in my time broadcasting.
It was a great game, but once again, the Carmel Greyhounds did not come out on top. They're 6-5 on the year, and then they now go to play Avon this Friday. It'll be interesting to see how they respond after two losses in a row in a quadruple overtime game just two nights before.
Well, I'd say something that's different about this Carmel team than past Carmel teams, the ones that won the state championship and, you know, the ones the years before. I'd say the individual games mean a lot more this year because from what we've seen in past years when they've been really good with Coach Scott Hetty, they've been on these really long win streaks, and they just build up the momentum. I think individual games now can kind of control your season. You know, you've had two really tough losses against Westfield and Cathedral. That's why, like you said, Jack, this game versus Avon at home is such a huge test to try and come back from those really tough losses. I just think those individual games are a lot more meaningful this year.
I will agree with you in that, you know, Carmel has to bring it night in and night out because they're not good enough to win on talent alone. A great quote from Miracle, by the way, the movie. But yeah, they're not great enough to win on talent alone. They really have to play well each night against every opponent because every opponent's going to give Carmel their best effort. But I will say individual games don't necessarily matter in high school basketball because everyone makes the playoffs.
Yeah, you said that last night in the broadcast, Jack. And I'm talking to Trenton about it earlier. Yes, the games in the regular season, the win-loss record doesn't matter going to the playoffs, but sure would help having a better record. Yes, right now the team, having lost a couple games, yes, it's a great spark, like Trenton said, and we've heard from Coach Hetty and Coach Osborne say throughout halftime and post-game interviews and interviewing them, they said it's a good spark, but you obviously never want to be on the losing end of a game.
Yeah, I didn't really factor into the playoffs into my statement. I was just talking about overall confidence and momentum moving forward. But I agree with you. Everybody makes the playoffs. But I just think that confidence-wise, those individual games can really help or can really hinder it.
Well, based on what I've seen from this team, I really do believe that, and Trenton Richardson said it, that this team, the sky's the limit. They have a lot of talent, maybe not as much as the teams like Cathedral with Aaron Gordon, Jordan Walker, and all these D1 commits. But they play so well together. And once they start finding ways to close games, I think they'll be fine down the stretch. And they don't have the toughest sectional necessarily because North Central and Zionsville are out. Zionsville is having a great year, by the way. That was a good win for Carmel in their first game on the road. And then North Central, obviously the number one team in the state. They went down by the way, last night against Southport. They got smashed.
Really?
Southport, the preseason number one, and they beat them by about 25, so an interesting development there. But North Central and Zionsville are out of Carmel sectional, and guess who moves in? Garin Catholic and Anderson. Not the most high-quality opponents at all. Carmel beat Anderson by 20-plus earlier in winter break, and then Garin, I mean, they just moved up to 4A for the first time, and they're not necessarily the best of competition either. So hopefully Carmel, they start playing well at the end of the year, moving into sectionals, and who knows, maybe they can make another run to regionals, semi-state, maybe even a state championship.
You said it multiple times last night, Jack. You never know in Indiana high school basketball. You never know.
That's exactly right. We saw that last night, and we'll see that the rest of the year for sure. So that is all for us here on Hound Pound Sports Talk. For Sam and Brady, I'm Jack Kaiser, saying have a great afternoon, everyone, or good morning, whatever it is. Thanks for tuning in.